When was the last time you took some time to just rest? I mean, to be restored, to be rejuvenated, to be renewed. I mean, just to stop and smell the roses. Or candidly, do you feel like life is a rat race? There's pressure, there's demand, you feel overwhelmed, you're not really enjoying life. If that describes you, even a little, you're gonna love today. God has a word of encouragement for you. Stick around.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as our Bible teacher on this daily international discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. Today, Chip continues his series, God's Boundaries for Abundant Living, with a unique look at commandment number 4. If you're overworked, overwhelmed, and overcommitted, today's message is for you. Chip's going to share God's plan for helping us balance work and rest. Now, with his talk from Exodus chapter 20, here's Chip.
This fourth boundary, I was a Christian about, 10, 12 years before I even understood it, let alone started to obey it. And I learned it the hard way. I was driving in a car, it was 1977. I had just graduated from college. I'd spent some time sharing Christ, traveling overseas, playing basketball. Even in college, I was sort of a high energy. I played basketball and baseball, and then was in a Bible study, led a Bible study, met with a guy one-on-one, and had 6 different guys that I met with. And then I was an RA to pay my way through the part that my scholarship didn't take care of. So I had learned to live at a pretty fast pace, enjoyed it, and didn't seem to be a big problem. And then I began to work and lead a ministry, and I would be up early in the morning to pray, memorize some scripture, read the Bible, go off to work, coach a team, get back, do a thing on the campus. And my life was moving at pretty high RPMs, and I was an in-shape guy, you know, 25, and I was driving back from Maryland. And I'll never forget this. And I was pushing. When you're that young, you can go on 4 or 5 hours sleep quite a bit, and you don't think it affects you. And a lot of stress and a lot of pressure. And I was getting on an on-ramp from Maryland back to West Virginia, and I turned my head like this to see if any cars were coming. And then no one was coming, and so I got on the on-ramp, and then I had one small problem. I couldn't move my neck back. And it was like, okay, I'm gonna drive like this. And I had like 4 hours. And then I noticed that I'm not only driving and not only is my neck locked, but I feel very cold. And those of you that have had a real high temperature or your body gets run down, and I had a sweat, but it was very cold sweat. And I was thinking, I'm not sure, but I think I'm getting sick, you know? And so I made it the 4 hours and I went home and I got in bed. And I remember sleeping about 2 hours and waking up in the middle of the night. And I'm one of those guys, when I play basketball, I lose 3, 4, or 5 pounds. I sweat like crazy. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I was soaked. And I mean, my gym shorts, my t-shirt, the sheets. And I wonder what happened. I got up, took a shower, got all the wet stuff off, threw a blanket on the bed and went back to sleep. And about 2 hours later, I woke up again and I was drenched. And I've got no idea what's going on, except for it's hard to take a shower with your head like this. And it happened again. And so, being the very smart, intelligent person, I decided I would wait at least 2 days to find out if this was anything serious before I go to the doctor. You know, it was sort of like, you know, take 2 aspirin, this will go away. And it didn't. And I never forget, I remember going into that doctor's office and he ran a series of tests and started asking me some questions about my schedule, and I told him when I got up and how many hours I put in and what I was doing, and I was leading a campus ministry and I was teaching full time and I was doing this other thing. And he said, you know, I've run all tests on your body and your body works fine. He said, but your body and your immune system is so run down. He said, a good common cold could just, I mean, do severe damage. And he put me in the hospital for about 3 days and put an IV in me. And then he said, I'll release you. I had an uncle that lived in town. If for 2 weeks, you'll just go and lay in bed and get your body back up to snuff. And I did. My aunt was great. She fed me all this great food. And it was a pretty good deal, to tell you the truth. And I didn't think that much about it. And so I gradually, you know, got my legs back and found out I had a liver problem. Something wasn't working quite right. And I remember as a young kid, I had mono and hepatitis, and they weren't sure. And so it was sort of my Achilles heel that when I got really drained, that would pop up. Fast forward to 1984, made it through that. Now I've got a wife, got some kids. I'm in Dallas Seminary. I'm finishing up my degree, and I'm taking a small church. And I got to make sure, because I'm the only pastor, I got to get everything done. And those same symptoms came back. And I was in another doctor's office. And he just looked me in the eye and he said, you're either going to die a very, very young man, or you're going to learn to live differently. And you know what? I don't know much about your God, and I don't know much about the ministry, but I can tell you, you live at a pace and at a level that's going to kill you if you don't change. And I can tell you this, your liver is your weak spot, and when you get run down, this is what shows up in these tests. And he said, it's serious. And I thought, maybe I should look into this. The title of this message comes out of my own personal life. It's a word to the overworked, overwhelmed, and overcommitted. Do you know anybody like that? Anybody know anybody that is overworked, overwhelmed, and overcommitted? That every time you want to get with someone, you look at each other's schedules and you pull out those little PDA things and, well, we could, and you realize like next January you have a free week. Or how many times you bump into someone at church, oh, yeah, it'd be great to see you, great to see you, and you've been saying that for like 3 years. And some of you, maybe different stages of life, you know, Tuesday night it's this, Wednesday night it's that, it's a committee meeting on Thursday night, your kids are in soccer, softball, ping pong, ballet, music lessons, and mostly, you know, your meals together as a family are the drive-thru at the McDonald's or the Burger King. Overworked, overcommitted, stressed out. I used to live that way. And then I learned there was a gift. There's a gift from God. And the gift is about every 7 days stopping, resting, ceasing, and allowing your mind, your spirit, and your body to be rested, recalibrated, and restored by honoring an enduring principle called the Sabbath. It's a gift from God. And about 20 years ago, I started to honor that, and I honor it religiously. And it has, I still live at a pretty fast pace, but one out of every 7 days, I Sabbath. And what I'd like to do is, as you'll look at your notes, let's do a little evaluation on the command. Let's give an explanation, a reason, and the basic message of the Sabbath. And then this is one of all the commands. Are you ready for this? You can read the literature of all the commands. I mean, you would think that all the books that have been written, it must be about, you know, no name other than God's name. The literature is overwhelming on this command. The most controversy, this command. And so we're going to look at this command and what it meant for Israel. We're going to look at this command and what Jesus said about it. We're going to look at this command and for the early church and for today. And then I want to get through that information. And then I want to talk about what's it look like for you to practice the enduring principle of the Sabbath so that instead of being overworked, you can work at a pace and in a way that would honor God and restore you. That instead of being stressed out, you can literally have your mind, your spirit, and your emotions like a battery charger, you know, those little cell phones that you stick into that thing at night. The Sabbath is a supernatural battery charger that God wants to use every 7 days to get your body, your mind, your emotions, and your spirit where it says, finished charging, ready to go. So let's look at the text together. Here's the command. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That's Exodus 20, verse 8. The word remember here literally means to vividly bring to one's recollection or to relive. And we'll look at that in just a minute. It's not just kind of remember in some day. It is remember, stop, bring to your mental faculty a sense of vivid restoration of a certain event. And that event is this day and what it means to them in Israel. And then he says it is the Sabbath day. And the word for Sabbath means to put to an end. It means to cease. It doesn't mean Saturday. It came to mean Saturday. But the literal word for Sabbath is stop, desist, rest. Literally, it means to be lacking. Then here's the explanation. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, Yahweh, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, or your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien living within your gates. So pretty comprehensive. You, your family, your animals, everything. One out of every 7 days, call a royal timeout and stop. The reason he gives in verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, you all understand that God did not get tired after 6 days. It wasn't like 6 days, man, I am just beat, right? God gives out energy and never loses any energy. So what he did is he's modeling something for us. Did you notice when you read through Genesis, it was an evening and a day and he made it. And at the end of the day, he said, it is good. When God gets done doing something, he takes a moment and he pauses. And then he looks at what he's made and he reflects on it and he enjoys it. And after God had created 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, and he made all mankind and the earth, he took a long pause and he Sabbathed, he ceased, and he was modeling something for you and modeling something for me that you need to stop. You need to look back. You need to see what's been accomplished. Are you ready? You need to enjoy it. You need to savor it. You need to drink it in. Some of us are so future-oriented, so task-oriented, so about getting things done and getting the strokes and all the stuff that comes from accomplishing, 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 accomplishing. You know what happens? You never enjoy what God gives you. And you never look back and drink in what has been accomplished. And so God says, for 6 days, you're to work. It's a good thing. On the seventh day, because I modeled this for you, I want you to learn to live in a way where you don't just work, but where you look back on your work and you appreciate and enjoy it. The message of the Sabbath, basically, there's three primary messages as you study this passage. One is that your work matters to God. Notice it says, 6 days you shall labor. God gave you gifts, energy, focus, creativity. There's a sense of purpose for your life. Your work matters to God. It's not like you come to a meeting like this and this is the spiritual part of the week, or Sunday morning is the spiritual part of the week. 24/7 is spiritual to God, an offering unto God. We live Romans 12:1 type lives where you offer your body a living and holy sacrifice. And so when you're doing diapers, when you're babysitting grandkids, when you're fixing people's body, when you're drilling and filling teeth, when you're taking a kid to soccer practice, when you're taking a plumbing and connecting some plumbing, because that's what you do for a living, or connecting wires, or whether you're in front of a computer screen, when you work and do your work unto the Lord, it is as spiritual as coming to church. It is as spiritual as being a minister of the gospel. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, Colossians 3:23, as unto the Lord. Work is holy. Your work matters to God. Vocation doesn't mean job. The word vocation means a calling. God has called each one of us to do certain things according to our gifts and passions and his purposes, and he wants us to learn that we work. And do you notice that work was assigned to us before the fall? You know, we live in a world where, you know, it's the TGIF mentality, where everyone's trying to get as little work done as possible to get as much money as possible to do different stuff later. I mean, we've got a whole world that thinks the world is made for weekends. Isn't that a pretty big waste of the majority of your life? This command teaches us 6 days you shall work. I want to use your life. I want to use you how I made you, working, whether it's at home as a mom with young children, whether it's out in the marketplace as a woman, whether it's as a man leading people, whether it's doing construction, whether it's writing software or programs or healing people's body. You do it every act unto the Lord. Your work matters to God. The second message of the Sabbath is there's more to life than labor. He says there's 6 days you shall work, and on the sixth you need to stop. Life can't just be viewed through work. People today prioritize all their world and all their life around work. We make this decision based on work. When we eat or don't eat as a family is because of work. What we do, where we go, what we're going to do. There's more to life than work. Work isn't enough to sustain you or sustain me. It's an important part of life. But the Sabbath message teaches us Don't view all of life through the lens of work. Where's the job? How much money can I make? People often relocate to, quote, a better job that pays a little more, and what they leave is a church family and their best relationships and their kids growing in a good environment, because you've been trained to think that every time you get a promotion, it's automatically God's will. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe God has bigger and higher plans than just a promotion. Maybe it's like living a life. And so God wants us to know from this Sabbath principle that your work matters to God. There's more to life than labor. And then finally, your time belongs to God. I mean, we all know that, okay, all that I am and all that I have, it belongs to God. We teach what we have, gifts from God. We're a steward. Paul said, what do you have that you haven't received? Answer, nothing. And so we're going to teach our spiritual gifts belong to God. Our money, our resources belong to God. Our homes, our cars, our children, they're a gift from the Lord. What this says is, your time isn't your own, but we act like it is. He's going to say out of 168 hours every week, 24 of those hours are mine. Now, I own them all, and you're a steward of all of them, but 24 out of those 168, I've already marked off, I've preset, they're mine. And I'm going to tell you out of every 7 days what to do on 24 of those hours. But here's the amazing thing. It's a gift. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about can-dos or can't-dos. He's going to say, I love you so much, I'm going to set a boundary around that human tendency to go, 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 go. You know, some of us, how many people make those little lists where you write down all the things you have to do? Go ahead, raise your hand. I do. And isn't it really just wonderful? In fact, I have a whiteboard over here in my office. I get another whiteboard over here, and I make lists. And you know what I love to do? Just before I left the office, I went and took one of those little markers. Check, check, check. And you know what? When you check three, it feels better to check four, doesn't it? And when you check four, it feels better to check five or six. And when you... But if your life has any complexity at all, you never get done with your list, do you? And once you get done with that list, I have this amazing thing. I get up the next day, and I have a whole new list. Do you understand that some people unconsciously are living from list to list to list with some illusion? Someday, some way, things are going to slow down. And someday, some way, you're really going to do some things that matter. And someday, some way, you're really going to dig in and build some of those relationships. And someday, some way, you're really just going to sit around the table and share hearts as a family. And someday, some way, you're going to take that family missions trip and get beyond ourselves. And someday later, I mean, when things really calm down at work, then you're really going to find your niche in the church and where to serve and how to do it. And what you know is the someday, some way never comes. And God says, I got a solution to that. You break through this boundary, I'll give you an Ingram experience. I think I've caught up on all my Sabbaths. See, if you don't take them, he'll give them to you. I've been in bed a few times for not taking the Sabbaths. I've got probably a litany of injuries that I could probably trace back to, you know what, I think God wants me to rest. And when I don't take it, he's got a way to, because he loves me. And he cares for you. And he wants you to know that your time isn't yours, it's his. But as the psalmist said, our times are in his hands, and he wants to do something very special and very good. Let's look now, what's the meaning of the Sabbath? Let's look at it for Israel on the Sabbath, Jesus in the Sabbath, and the church in the Sabbath, and then I want to get to the application part. I've given you an outline here. As you look at it, it's obvious I can't cover all this material. So what I want to do is highlight it, and I've given you the passages so that I pray that since you're on, some of you, a little Sabbath vacation, you can, you know, go over to the sweet shop and, you know, maybe get a Coke or a cup of coffee, put your feet up, sit in the sun, look up some of these passages and say, wow, this is neat. Let God speak to you personally. Israel and the Sabbath. First, the Sabbath was a test for Israel. Second, it was a law. And third, it was a sign. Let me just highlight these. First of all, it was a test. The first time we hear the word Sabbath in terms of its relationship to Israel is in Exodus 16, 21 through 30. And this was a test of faith. This occurs 1 week before they get to Mount Sinai. And 1 week before they get to Mount Sinai, you know, they're whining and having struggles and, you know, there's nothing to eat. And God says, here's what I want you to do. You go out in the morning and there'll be manna. And just collect enough just for that day. If you collect more, then it won't be good. And of course, being the really smart people they were, a lot like probably all of us if we were there, some of the people said, you know what, this is good for today, it tastes pretty good, but what about tomorrow? See, I don't know that I can believe God will supply tomorrow. So remember what they did? They got an extra jar. And when they got up the next day, they ate the one jar, and what was in the second jar? Anybody remember? Maggots. See, this was a test of, I am a faithful God, I will take care of you. And then he talked about the Sabbath and said, now here's what you're going to do. On Friday, I want you to take two jars. And they, you know, some of them are thinking, we've been down this road before, this can't work. Because if you take two jars on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but on the Sabbath, he says what? You take two jars. And then what happens when the sun goes down on Friday evening? You've got this, and when you wake up on the Sabbath, you don't have to go out and work. It's there. And what did they find? Both jars were good. The first mention of the Sabbath and manna is a test of faith so God's people could learn he will supply. And that's why when he gives the law and he says, remember the Sabbath, bring into vivid recollection, their first experience with the Sabbath was what? The manna. What are they to bring into vivid recollection? Literally, the word has the idea, they couldn't think of this because they didn't have the technology, is if you could punch a DVD player inside your mind and relive in your mind what occurred on that first time when you had to not get more manna this day and take two jars and watch God supply on the other day. It's relive the Sabbath, because the goal was they're going to have to learn in every situation God will meet their needs. He's a faithful God. On the day you work, he meets your needs. And on the day you don't work, he'll meet your needs. And the goal was trust my word. Trust me. I'm big. I'm powerful. I can take care of you. And so every time they were to celebrate the Sabbath, they were to remember this experience.
Chip will be right back. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message, A Word to the Overworked, Overwhelmed, and Overcommitted, is from his series, God's Boundaries for Abundant Living. As Chip explained today, rather than a harsh list of prohibitions, the commandments are actually life-giving instructions from a Heavenly Father who loves His children. God's Boundaries for Abundant Living provides a high view of God that'll give you a new appreciation of your relationship with Him, creating a solid foundation for every aspect of your life. If that's something you'd like to learn more about, we want to help. For a limited time, the CDs for God's Boundaries are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. You'll find God's Boundaries resources on our website, livingontheedge.org. Or if you'd prefer to talk with one of our customer care representatives, give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, you know, when we think about the Ten Commandments, I think a lot of people imagine an angry God just waiting for us to mess up. Well, what resource do we have that could help people get an accurate perspective of God and then really see these commandments as the loving boundaries He set up for our good?
Well, Dave, you need to understand that God's boundaries come out of His heart.
Yeah.
And His heart is as a father that wants to protect His children.
Hmm.
And until you hear His voice, until you really understand personally, not what someone else says about the Bible, but until you get into the Scriptures yourself and hear the Holy Spirit speak compassion and protection and encouragement in your heart, it's very difficult to see the Ten Commandments as anything more than rules I have to follow. And what we all know is we can't in and of ourselves. And that's honestly why we've created a free video resource called How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture. It's 5 brief online videos where I literally walk people through step by step how to get into God's Word. I just find so many people that they just tell me, you know, I tried reading the Bible and I just don't get it. I read so many chapters and it's just performance. What we want you to know is that there's an easy, clear way. There's a daily pattern of spending time with God, and you can learn to hear His voice. And when you do, He'll direct your life. People who say, I've never opened God's Word and say, I don't know where to begin, this video series will help you start sort of at point A and begin to hear God's voice and learn to study Scripture for yourself. We're really excited about putting this in people's hands, and it's absolutely free.
Well, this online video course, How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture, really is a great resource from Living on the Edge. Whether you're opening the Bible for the first time or you've been reading it for years, what Chip shares will take your ability to discern God's voice to a whole new level. You can do these 5 video sessions on your own time, at your own pace. As your relationship with God deepens, your confidence will increase, and you'll actually begin to look forward to spending time with Him. Just go online to livingontheedge.org to check out this free video resource and take your next step toward hearing God speak to you through His Word. Well, now here's Chip to wrap up today's program.
I have to tell you that when I teach on this topic of the Sabbath, we get an amazing amount of mail. This really is a nerve for a lot of people. But I think, unfortunately, people gravitate very, very quickly to sort of logistical issues. What day is a Sabbath? And can you do this on this day or not do this on this day? And different traditions. And you know what? We're going to talk about those things in our next broadcast. But what I do want you to know is don't miss the message. The message of the Sabbath is that our work really does matter to God. You know, the message of the Sabbath is that there is more to life than work. And the message of the Sabbath is that the time that is entrusted to me, it really does belong to God. And the very first thing He teaches in terms of the meaning of the Sabbath is that it's a test of faith. The Sabbath really is one of the greatest evidences in your life and my life. Do I really trust God? And my confession, I mean, I'm not going to pretend here. It's a big struggle in my life, and I've had to talk about boundaries. I've had to put real boundaries on a day off, and I've had to put clear boundaries on time with my family, time with God, and vacation times to get renewed, because I love to work, and I know there's some wacky things probably deep down in my psyche and my brain, and I get a lot of reward for it. I'm not sure it's all godly, but I could work, and really miss some things. And I'm probably talking to a lot of people that think just the same way. But when you hear yourself say things like, I don't have time, I wish we could slow down, yeah, honey, or yes to one of the kids, or to your roommate who's another single guy or another single gal, and you say, yeah, when this gets done, then we can, all those phrases are telling you, you don't get the Sabbath, and you're missing out on God's gift. Some of us are working so hard, but the reasons we work is very fundamental. We don't believe God will provide. We don't believe He's in control. He has told us to stop, to rest, to be physically, spiritually, and emotionally renewed because we're the object of His love, because He wants you to see and me to see that when we are not working, He is. And He has our future and our best in mind. And it is not an obligatory thing as much as a gift. Are you receiving the gift of the Sabbath? Do some hard thinking on this one. And then make sure you tune in to our next broadcast, because we're going to dig a lot deeper. I'll see you then.
Just before we close, I want to thank those of you who make this broadcast possible through your generous giving. Living on the Edge invests those dollars to purchase airtime, create programs, and provide resources to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if Living on the Edge has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? You can donate online at livingontheedge.org or by calling us at 1-888-333-6003. Thank you for your partnership with us. Well, I hope you'll join us again on Monday as Chip continues our current series. For now, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.